I'm reading from the New International Version, which is my favorite current scripture. There's many, many translations, and each one is a little different. From Psalm 119, we'll read 33, verses 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law, and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill the promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. Thus ends the reading of God's word.
Thank you, Richard. Let's pray together. Lord, these ancient words, these words of prayer that the psalmist wrote are also our prayer today. We pray, O Lord, that our hearts and our minds may be open to receiving words from you, a message from you that will help us and strengthen us in our daily living. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Do you ever feel stressed? Maybe you're feeling that way right now. Please know that you are not alone. I mean, I've already heard the ripples, so it's like you're not alone. Even in here, we share stress. Stress levels are higher than ever. For scientists have shown that they have increased at least over the last 35 years. According to researchers at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, stress increased 18% for women and 24% for men between the years of 1983 and 2009. Especially hard were people with lower incomes and less education. Overall, most of us are feeling more stressed today because of economic pressures and the difficulty of protecting ourselves from the world and its constant flow of information. You know, some people just want to say, turn out the world. Just, I need to deal with what's going on in my own life right now and not with what's going on out there.
Amen.
But there is some good news. Stanley, I hear you. But there is some good news. And Stanley, you'll appreciate this. There's some good news. For according to USA Today, stress decreases as we age. So if we can just stay alive long enough and keep aging, eventually we will feel less stressed than we are today. But with all this stress, what are people doing to try and deal with it? Adult coloring books are huge right now, and some are actually advertising stress-relieving patterns. Now, I haven't seen those, but that's okay. I wasn't looking for them either. But the Washington Post reports that about 12 million adult coloring books were sold in the United States in 2015. I couldn't find the statistics for last year. I bet they were even higher. Books have been developed for anyone with a particular interest and a need to relax. In other words, there's a coloring book out there for each one of us. People are also turning to technology. Oddly enough, the smartphones that create so much stress for us can also help us relax. These devices normally make us anxious by buzzing and pinging at us, constantly demanding our attention. But now there are applications, or apps as they are known, being developed to help calm us down and not to be all frenzied. For example, some apps offer guided meditations that talk the user through mental exercises with the goal to reduce stress or to cope with anxiety. While other apps offer themes such as Coastline at Sunset or Fireplace with an accompanying soothing soundtrack. Other apps lead the user through journal keeping as a way of reflecting on the day and describing the things that have gone well and that the user is thankful for. And photos or videos can be added to this, and then they can even be shared on social media so that we can keep our gratitude private or public, and it's whatever makes us more serene. Each of us needs stress relief, and there's nothing wrong with adult coloring books and smartphone apps. But before these became popular, people had turned to self-help books of all types and all types of recordings of meditations to listen to, and yoga. And those aren't bad. Those are still in existence, but those were taking place before these newest things. But all of these were being turned to and are being turned to in an attempt to deal with the stress that we are feeling. Well, what does the Bible have to say about stress? Long before any of these approaches were invented, Psalm 119 provided people with a path to inner peace. This biblical song promises to teach us God's ways with no need for coloring pencils or an exercise mat or a handheld electronic device. So we need to say, you know, what does the psalm do? Well, more than we might imagine, for in just 8 short verses. Now, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. Okay, so and we're just focusing on a very, very small segment of that. But in these just 8 verses, it offers a simple yet stress-relieving program designed to bring peace to the soul. In the first step of God's approach to peaceful living, it puts us in touch with God's ways. The psalmist writes, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." The psalm writer wants to learn of God's statutes, God's laws, God's commandments, not because of the value in memorizing a list of rules and regulations, but because these guidelines contain the way to life and peace. I want us to think for a moment about the Ten Commandments. Every one of them has been designed to help us, not hurt us. And although they are challenging to follow, these commandments are intended to be life-enhancing and to give us a positive framework for our words and our actions. Now, many of us will probably think, oh, those Ten Commandments, those are hard to live by. That's, you know, that's not something good, but something positive. For the first 4 commandments in the list of 10 offer guidance for our relationship with God. For those first 4 say, "I am the Lord your," and I'm sort of paraphrasing and compacting them a little bit, and I modernized a little bit as well. "I am the Lord your God. Never have any other God. Never worship or serve idols or statues that represent any creature in the sky, on the earth, or in the water. Never use the name of the Lord your God carelessly. Remember the day of worship by observing it as a holy day." But those all have to do with our relationship with God. The next 6 commandments in that list of 10 explain what it means to have a healthy relationship with each other. "Honor your father and mother. Never murder. Never commit adultery. Never steal. Never lie when you testify about your neighbor. And never desire to take anything away from your neighbor." The Protestant reformer John Calvin noted that God divided his law into 2 parts. The first part dealt with the worship of God's majesty, and the second part dealt with the duties of love that have to do with people. The 2 are equally life-enhancing and equally important for inner peace. No doubt Jesus had this approach in mind when he said that the greatest commandment challenged us both to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Nothing can be more calming than the knowledge that we are right with God and right with our neighbors. That is, that we're walking in God's ways. But that's not all that Psalm 119 in these verses give us. The second step of God's approach to peaceful living helps us to avoid the ways of stressful world around us. We read, turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Instead of, or even in addition to, focusing on the soothing soundtrack, the psalm advises us to turn our attention to God's decrees and not to selfish gain. Rather than looking at a coastline at sunset, the psalm invites us to avert our eyes from vanities and receive life in God's way. Unfortunately, so much of our stressful world is focused on vanities and selfish gain. Even our state governments are in the business of dangling riches in front of us through lottery ads, which invite us to play a little. Give your dream a chance. Imagine the possibilities. But guess what? Those dreams and possibilities are stress-producing and life-diminishing. Fortune magazine reports that 44% of people who have won large lottery prizes are broke within 5 years. Nearly a third declare bankruptcy, meaning they end up worse than before they became rich. Lottery winners frequently become estranged from family and friends, and they have higher rates of depression, drug and alcohol abuse, divorce, and suicide than the average American. Doesn't sound very peaceful to me. Better to turn our hearts to God's decrees and receive the life that God wants to give us. This psalm then advises us to walk toward God and away from the ways of the stressful world around us. Put the two together, and we get a totally free and unexpected promise from God. And the psalmist writes, "Keep your promise to me, your servant, the promise you make to those who obey you. Save me from the insults I fear. How wonderful are your judgments. I want to obey your commands. Give me new life, for you are righteous." God promises to give life to those who respect him and walk in his ways. This is a life of right relationship with God, one which includes God's commandments, but is not based on perfect adherence to them. That is beyond our ability, which Jesus himself realized when he said, "No one is good but God alone." Although we cannot expect perfect perfection through commandment keeping, we can strive for a life of a right relationship with God and with the people around us. This is what Jesus is urging when he spoke of righteousness, by which he meant good relationships, the key to relieving stress and achieving peace. I'm going to look at a couple of the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke, and I'm going to do a quick substitution for the word with the words right relationship for the words righteousness, which is one of those big words that we aren't always sure what it means. But I think we know what a right relationship means. And if we look at that, then we can sort of unlock what Jesus was talking about in his Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for right relationships, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of right relationships, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Unless your right relationships exceed those of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. God's approach to peaceful living is all about having right relationships. It's the key to experiencing inner calm. It puts us in touch with God's ways and helps us to avoid the ways of the stressful world around us. If we put these two aspects together and we receive God's promises of life, this is a righteous life, a life of right relationships, and it's the key to reducing stress and finding inner calm in every time, in every place, and in every situation. And there's no special equipment needed. Let's pray together. Or we do sometimes feel so stressful that we just, our insides are churning, and we sometimes just don't know what to do. We just can't focus on anything. Our minds are just scattered. Lord, in those moments, we just pray that we may focus on our relationship with you and our relationship with others, and that we may just take a deep breath and just inhale your spirit, and that your spirit of calm may come into us, and that we may realize that we need to put things in perspective. We need to evaluate what our relationship with you in that moment is and how we are relating with others. And Lord, we just thank you for these words from the psalmist, these words of prayer, these words that we can take with us and internalize, that we seek to obey your commandments and we seek to have a right relationship with you. And Lord, we know we are not perfect. We know that we do things that are against your will. But Lord, we strive to follow you and to be obedient to you. And Lord, in doing that, we know that we will be better citizens of this world and that we'll be able to relate better to our neighbors. And Lord, just in these moments, we do pray for your calming peace and your calming presence to be with us. For those that are feeling especially stressed right now, we just pray that calm and peace that comes only from you may be experienced, and that we may be changed by having been here together today. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.